Beasts by Maureen Marsh.
He had definitely not intended to go to the party. It was only after his manager had come up to him and squeezed his shoulder, saying, "You are coming, aren't you, mate? There's going to be plenty of totty." Totty. What an old-fashioned and ridiculous word, he thought. But being ever careful with his thoughts, he'd simply nodded and responded, "Sure thing, Clive." "Good man," Clive grinned back and gave him a wink as he exited the office floor. He had gained a reputation at work for being a ladies' man, and for a long time he had enjoyed playing that role, gaining kudos in his apparently effortless way of hooking up with female after female in dizzying rotation. But truth to tell, it was no longer the thrilling adventure it had once seemed. He'd recently felt an unexpected exhaustion after each of these encounters, and it was more like a heavy coat that no longer fitted. But he knew himself to be someone that desired other people's good opinion, and so, once at the party, he set about intoxicating himself sufficiently with vodka and beers, and then approaching the blonde with the loud giggle, much to the full appreciation of his work colleagues and manager. Gary gave him a thumbs up, George shouted, "Go, mate!" and Clive responded, "Show us your skill, Johnny." And so it was he found himself in bed with a stranger. Easing himself up into a seated position, he gazed around the cheap hotel room, its bland purple furnishings and tired stained carpet, the smell of sweat and cheap perfume cheapening it further. He then looked down at the female human in the bed beside him and saw someone approaching middle age with dark roots appearing from her brittle stained hair. Eye makeup that had smudged down her cheeks and stained the bedding. She emitted a light and unappealing snore, and a drizzle of drool made a small circular wet patch on the pillow. He felt a surge of nausea and carefully exited the bed to go to the bathroom. He felt himself to be a beast, an unlovable beast. The divorce had only gone through in the last week, and rather than the sense of relief or liberation she might have expected, she actually felt heavy with grief. Her sister put a reassuring arm around her. "Endings are always sad," she whispered. "I don't know who I am," she responded. "I tell you who you are. You're a beautiful, smart, awesome woman, and you're coming to that party with me." She recalled taking a last look in the mirror before leaving for the party and saw someone trussed up in a gold lamé skirt with heels a little too high. An immediate vision appeared in her mind of her now ex-husband looking at her and shaking his head in disapproval. "What are you trying to prove, Lynn?" This made her double down. And turning to her sister, she nodded and smiled as they exited the flat. And so it was that several plastic beakers of Pinot Grigio later, she found herself dancing to Careless Whisper with a stranger, and a feeling of wild abandon had overtaken her. She was enveloped in an almost palpable hysteria as she allowed herself to be taken into a strange world with a strange man and find herself in a strange hotel room. Opening her eyes slowly, she felt as though someone had emptied a sack of rocks into her head. One of her eyes was stuck together with mascara, so she gazed out through the other and noted that the man was no longer in the bed with her. She could hear him in the bathroom, and this was when she felt the first of many waves of deep embarrassment. Staring around the bland hotel room, the items of clothing strewn everywhere, a condom packet discarded on the stained carpet, she felt a longing to simply disappear. She felt herself to be a beast, an unlovable beast. He stared coldly at himself in the ensuite bathroom mirror, the harsh light making his eyes disappear behind pillows of flesh. There was a sadness and defeated quality about him. He was no longer the man who had a mission and a direction to go. He was Cinderella, and the carriage had turned into a dog turd, and he was revealed to be a sad little man trying to impress his boss. Pinching the flesh around his waist and looking again at his receding hairline and lopsided ears, he realised he was no longer a prize, if indeed he had ever been. His phone laying by the sink let out a low buzz, and he saw a message from his mum. "Don't forget Dad's birthday." He recalled her concerned face after Sunday lunch. "Are you ever going to find a nice girl, son?" He didn't respond. And then she added, "You're a much better man than you think you are, and one day you'll see that." The words seemed to linger long in his mind like an echo in a cave, reappearing every so often. And then he recalled he used to believe in God, in the devil, in heaven and hell. The devil was the beast, but then looking at his grizzled face in the mirror, he thought, yes, maybe there is a beast, maybe it's only us. And he sighed. He found himself praying for God now, inexplicably sending out a short, desperate prayer. "Dear God, please stop me caring what people think. Give me some courage and help me be a better man." He felt himself to be a beast, an unlovable beast. She eased her way out of the bed slowly and carefully, gathering together as many items of her clothing as she could find and hurriedly getting dressed. Hunting around for her handbag, she found it halfway under the bed next to a pair of men's boxer shorts. She felt herself go red as this triggered the memories of fumblings and drunken sighs, a strange man's face sweating and grunting, a couple of beasts being beastly. She debated getting out of the hotel room quickly and carefully before the man came out of the bathroom. Taking out her blue chipped mirror from her handbag, she investigated the damage and saw a smudged patchwork of makeup spread all over a tired face. She took out a tissue and wet it with some spit, trying to wipe away the worst of the mess. Looking down, she saw a pair of tights with holes and rips in the toes and crotch. She threw them in the bin, resigned to bare legs. One shoe had found its way into the brown plastic bin and she fished it out. Standing up, she felt wobbly and weak and was just about to take herself out of the room when he appeared from the bathroom. She felt herself to be a beast, an unlovable beast. "Hi," he said, towel discreetly wrapped around his waist, his chest sprinkled with a layer of brown and grey hairs and feet that looked like they'd seen better days, one toenail positively yellow. "Hi," she responded, a flush spreading over her chest and face. "I wondered," he stopped. "Look, I better go. I meant to be somewhere," she spurted out. I need to go." And she was about to exit when he took hold of her hand and gently squeezed it. "Look, you're obviously welcome to leave, and I wouldn't blame you if you did, but I'd appreciate it if you did stay a little longer. You see, I don't think I introduced myself properly to you. I was drunk and I think I probably gave you a load of bullshit, and I wanted to at least let you know who I am and, well, yeah, take you for a proper date or coffee or something." And he lowered his gaze, and something seemed to shine out of him like a light that transformed his mundane features into something else, something sweeter, and that something touched her. They felt themselves to be beasts, unlovable beasts. "I don't think I was honest either," she said. "I feel very embarrassed, actually." And something in her seemed to shine out like a light and transform her mundane features into something else, something sweeter, that touched him. And so he moved closer to her, and they gently kissed, and the kiss was a note that rang out in pureness, and they were transformed by beauty, and the beast disappeared.